Thank you for that introduction there. So I'm going to be talking today about some progeny that we've obtained by crossing glycine max and glycine pimentella, and we've been looking at some disease resistance for it in particular. So I want to just start off giving a little bit of background about the glycine max gene pool as defined by Harlan and DeWitt. It's actually quite simple for soybeans. In the primary gene pool, which constitutes the breeding material that you normally use in a breeding program in any given year, it includes glycine max and glycine soja. So these are the materials that are easily crossable, and you can always get a fertile F1 out of it. What's unique to soybeans is that it has no secondary germplasm. So you might contrast this with wheat, for example, where breeders regularly cross among the triticum species in order to obtain increase the diversity. So what I want to focus on here today is that glycine pimentella, which is the species that we're using, first thing you'll notice is that it's 2N equals 78, and this constitutes part of the tertiary gene pool, which means that without either some human or divine intervention, this won't cross with soybeans. So pimentella is an uncultivated perennial from Australia, and it's one of among 26 perennial species. And of course, we're trying to get trace from it into the max germplasm, and what's great is that we already do know that it has at least disease resistances to such pathogens as soybean cyst nematode, bean pod model virus, and Asian soybean rust, just to provide a few examples. So I just want to go through the Y hybridization procedure. Those of you who are familiar with Y hybridization, this isn't actually that complicated, but what I do want to emphasize is that with soybean, it's very hard to work with because soybean is already notorious for pod abortion, and you can imagine in a Y hybridization, it just gets worse. So this has been a lot of time and work, so I'm just going to go through it quickly, but I don't want to throw off that point. So we begin with Dwight and pimentella, and as I mentioned, the chromosomes numbers are different. So Dwight was a major grape group 2 variety in the 80s, and it still constitutes it's still an important ancestor to modern varieties that are present now. We used it mainly just because it happened to work, and same thing with the accession of the pimentella that we have. So in getting the F1, we get 2N equals 59. However, the problem there is that if there is any chromosome pairing, there isn't much of it, if at all. So it requires a colchicine treatment in order to obtain the antidiploid with 2N equals 118. And from here on, we just do a series of back crosses. But at the same time, what's also critical here, so this is the human intervention that I was talking about. Ram Singh, I put a picture up in the bottom right, developed a hormone treatment as well as embryo rescue techniques in order to recover the back crosses. So here we just do our series of back crosses, and we do this 3 to 6 times until we end up with 2N equals 40 or 42, just like in regular soybean, other than the 42. And these are genetically stable. So because they're genetically stable, we can put them in the field and we can grow them out so that we can increase the seed. They come from two BC2 plant backgrounds that we've been working with for the materials that we've had in the field so far. And as I mentioned, they represent BC3s to BC6s. Just to give you an idea of the scale that we've been working with, in the past 2 years, we've been planning out about 2,500 lines. The first thing we noticed when we put them out was that they're actually quite similar to Dwight, and this was quite surprising. If you talk to my advisor, Dr. Nelson, and you ask him about glycine max and glycine soja progeny, he'll immediately tell you about how much diversity you get, and most of the material looked a lot more like soja. So it was quite surprising that when we were using such a distant relative that we were getting such material so similar to Dwight. Still, we did manage to get differences in maturity, height, and flower color, for example. And this is important because it does confirm that we are getting recombination and that we're not just left with the Dwight chromosomes. I'm just going to go through a few pictures here. Here you can see some height differences that we have, Dwight's on the right, some maturity differences. And we do get some crazier stuff. For example, here on the left, that's likely a 2 unequal 42 with some semi-sterility. And on the right, you can see that it has brown paws, whereas both Dwight, or most of our other progeny from the derived lines have tan paws. So this was I was really curious about where the recombination was occurring, and we did a SNP array using a Golden Gate assay in order to get to figure this out. The results were quite surprising to me. What I personally expected was that almost all the crossing over was going to be at just a few chromosomes. I was guessing 1 to 2, and then you probably wouldn't see any crossing over just based on how little phenotypic differences we were getting. So I just want to step you through this picture I have here. Each of these represent blocks of chromosomes, the 20 chromosomes for soybean. And from left to right, those are the derived lines that we have. What I just want you to get from this is that they represent the diversity, the phenotypic diversity of the derived lines that we have currently. We'll probably be doing more of these. And then from top to bottom, that's just walking along the chromosome. The orange represents the polymorphisms from Dwight. So most importantly, that probably represents recombination. As you can see, there's variation among the chromosomes. For example, chromosome 12 here, you don't see any crossing over. Whereas at chromosome 15, you get quite a lot of crossing over. Still, if you look carefully, this isn't consistent across all the lines. Even among this chromosome where you get lots of crossing over, there's no polymorphism detected in a few of the lines, at least. So this was really interesting, and it was quite surprising to me. So knowing that there was a combination, we felt safe that we could go ahead and do some disease evaluations. And today I'm going to focus mostly on Phytophthora and sudden death syndrome, which are two major diseases in the upper Midwest. Phytophthora causes soybean root and stem rot, and is caused by Phytophthora zoji. There are 8 known RPS loci with 15 alleles, 5 of them being on RPS1. In order to screen for it, it's quite a simple procedure. We score the hypocotyl, and then we just cover it in a slurry of inoculated agar. And as you can see, the results come out. We just do essentially just do counts. The plants either die or live because it's the hypersensitive response. So the results so far, we screened 543 lines, and we've confirmed our gene resistance in at least 33 of these lines. Further characterizing the lines, what we found so far is that we're getting resistance to multiple races of Phytophthora. And this disease profile right here, it excludes all known RPS loci except for RPS1K. And our SNP polymorphism data that I showed you earlier, looking at each loci, what you also notice is that there are no SNP polymorphisms in any of the known loci except for the RPS1. Still, this doesn't mean that it's necessarily RPS1, and hopefully it's not. But hopefully we will be able to confirm this soon as we make crosses with Williams RPS isolines to do an allelism test. So I'm going to grow out the progeny this year, and then we'll quickly be able to screen that and determine whether it's at a new locus. So on the sudden death syndrome, this is a soil-borne fungal pathogen caused by Fusarium virguliforme. And unlike Phytophthora, the resistance to it is quantitative, so it's a little harder to work with. The procedure that we used was developed by Glenn Hartman, who we work closely with. And as you can see here, we use these flats, which is great for screening large numbers of accessions or plants. And essentially what we do is we have a layer of soil followed by a layer of inoculated sorghum and then a layer of soil. So the seeds just germinate and then grow straight through the inoculum. We screened 245 lines doing an initial test. And then we've done selection since then for further evaluation. And here's just a summary of the results that we've had. First thing I'll point out is the checks that we have in here. This PI, this is the best PI and the resistance standard that in any FDS test. Cordell is a commonly used moderately resistant cultivar. And Spencer here, as you can see, is a susceptible cultivar. So the scale goes from 1 to 7. And the key thing here are the experimental lines that we have. These are the derived lines from Max Vitonentella progeny. And as you can see, from our selected lines, they're all better than Dwight, and that's significant using a Dunnett's test. So the key thing here is that we haven't screened that many lines, but we already got some resistance. And it's not bad. It might not be as good as some of the checks, but I want you to focus on the fact that it's significantly better than Dwight, meaning that we've been able to transfer some resistance, some genes conferring resistance from Tomatella into Dwight. Just quickly, we've also been started to look at a few other diseases. In Asian soybean rust, which is a major disease in Brazil as well as the southern United States, we tentatively identified lines with resistance. However, we're just increasing the seed, and hopefully we'll be able to confirm it in the field this year. Soybean cyst nematode, this is actually considered the most important disease in the United States. One of the hard things about working with SCN, other than it's hard in itself, but in particular with this material, is that Dwight is derived from the SCN resistant parent PI88788, which constitutes the vast majority of SCN resistance in U.S. cultivars. However, we've been working with Terry Niblack at the University of Illinois, and we've been able to identify that HT type 257 is virulent to Dwight, but not PI441001. So we're going to start screening. We started screening with this HT type in order to identify any resistance that we found in our derived lines. Finally, I just want to leave you with the take-home messages. So first off, we've been able to create fertile hybrids between Glycine Max and Tomentella. And looking at the polymorphisms, we've been able to identify variation in recombination across 19 chromosomes and among the derived lines, indicating that we've been able to introduce genetics from Glycine Tomentella into the soybean background, and that these genetics include resistance to Phytophthora root rot, as well as sudden death syndrome. With that, I'd just like to thank my advisor, Randy Nelson, the field crew. Pretty much everyone's touched my material at some point, so they've been a lot of help. Fellow graduate students, Josh and Cole, Ron Singh, who developed the materials, Glenn Hartman, the soybean pathologist that we've been working closely with, in particular, is lab techs, Sarah and Laura, and Carol, Tim, and Sarah, I just share an office with them, and they're always there for advice. And finally, funding from the Illinois Soybean Association, as well as fellowship support from Monsanto. Thank you.